Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Mem Gimel. We're learning today the Ili Nishmas Gilad Kolter, Shmuel ben Harav Avram HaKohen, and Jacob Olson, Yaakov ben David. All the Nishans we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, we pick up about 7-8 lines from the top of Mem Gimel and Aleph. In yesterday's share, we had brought down that there were reasons why we couldn't generalize, make a binyanav from Yesh Shliach Lidvar Aveira, for two dinim that we said we did have it. And that was a machlokas beis hillel beis shammai. And each of them came out with their reasonings as to why there were two ksuvim that prevented us from generalizing this, because shtei ksuvim b'im kiachot ein milamdim. So that's a very quick summation of the end of the shir yesterday. And now the Gemara says that works out great. And we can pick up mem gimel and aleph with the words, hanicho l'man di omar shnei ksuvim b'im kiachot ein milamdim. That works out well. Both beis hillel beis shammai hold that shnei ksuvim b'im kiachot, if you have two psukim that teach us the same din, so that's basically telling us, don't make a binyan out of it. Don't make it a generalized din. Because if the Torah wanted to just give us a generalized din, it would have only said it by one of them. From the fact that it said it by two of them, you can't generalize it, and you only have it in those situations. And therefore, only in those two situations, according to Beis Hillel, according to Beis Shammai, respectively, do we have the din that only in those areas is there Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, but in general, therefore, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. However, that works out great only if you hold Shnei Ksuvim B'im Kiachot, Ein Milamdim. However, what about the famous Mandiyama that says, Ela Mandiyama, that holds Shnei Ksuvim B'im Kiachot, Milamdim, and it's only Shlosha Ksuvim B'im Kiachot, Ein Milamdim. According to this man, the Yomer, we should be able to generalize that there is in fact shlichus l'dvar aveira. So the Gemara says no, because we have a separate pasuk. Gali rachmana bishkute chutz. The Torah taught us in regards to shkute chutz. The din is that if a carbon is supposed to be shechted, it must be shechted inside the azara. If you go and shecht a carbon outside the azara, this is a big isser. This is an isser of kares. And the Torah Beferish tells us that you're not allowed to go and do this. And the Torah says when you're not allowed to go and do shkute chutz, kin shecht a carbon outside the azara. So it says dom yechoshev. Lo'ish hahu dom shafach. This person who does this, he will be having the equivalent of shedding blood. In other words, he is going to be chayiv kares. And the pasuk says, who? That person, dom yishafach. Who? Velo shlucho. So here is the source telling us that there is no shlichos of aravera. If you tell another person, go shecht this behema, which is a behema that was a carbon, and it's supposed to be shecht in the azara, and you tell him to go and shecht it outside, and he goes and shechts it outside, so then he is not going to be chayiv kares. Who? Velo shlucho. In that situation, only the person who actually shechts the carbon himself outside knowingly that this is shlute chutz, he's going to be chayiv kares. But if you send the person to do so, you will not be chayiv kares, even though he follows your shlichus, and he shechts that animal that should have been shechted inside, he shechts it outside. Now, where it says, why don't we now learn this out as a general rule, that in fact, there is no shlichus l'dvar aveira. So, ashkon gabi shlute chutz. We see the pasuk tells us that this din applies ein shlichus l'dvar aveira in regards to din of shlute chutz. V'chol ha-Torah minolin. How do we know that this applies in the rest of the Torah as well? Why don't we say, the Olaf Bishrut Echutz, let's learn this out as a binyanab to the rest of the Torah, that just like over here, there is no shlichus of Dvar Aveira, so too, in all other dinim, there should be no shlichus of Dvar Aveira. But the Gemara pulls back from this and says, wait a second, Adi Olaf Mishrut Echutz, instead of learning out Shrut Echutz, is the paradigm, the binyanab, the teacher says, there's ein shlichus of Dvar Aveira, Nelef Mehanach. Why don't we, according to this man, the Yomer, that holds that Shnei Ksuvim Haboim Kechod are in fact melamdin, so then we have the din from yesterday from Beis Hillel that Me'ila and Tvacho Umucharo, that by Me'ila there is a din of Yesh Shlichus L'Dvar Aveira, and by Tvacho Umucharo there's Shlichus L'Dvar Aveira. So in these two dinim, we had proven through the Psukim that there is Shlichus L'Dvar Aveira. So according to this man, the Yomer, it says, Shnei Ksuvim B'im Kiachot Melamdim, that should be the Binyan Ad that we should learn out to the Kol Torah Kula, that Yesh Shlichus L'Dvar Aveira. Why are you telling me from Shlutei Chutz we should learn out that Sabin Yenad that there is no Shlichus Dvar Aveira? According to Man the Yomer, it says Shnei Ksuvim B'im Kiachot Melamdim, we could learn out from Me'ila and Tavacho Umacharo that you should be able to have Shlichus Dvar Aveira. So Gemara says no. The reason why we learn out that there ain't Shlichus Dvar Aveira from Shlutei Chutz because Hadar Kasev Rachmoni, because the Torah repeated itself and it said V'nichra So'ish Hahu. That person, and only that person, will get kares for shlutei chutz. Only if he himself does it, but not by his shaliach doing it. And therefore, since we already learned that for the first time it mentioned it, we just had the pasuk that it said Dom Yechoshev L'ish Hahu Dom Shofach. So that told me that there is no din of Shlichus by Shrut Echutz. So why are you telling it to me again? V'nichras Ish Hahu. So therefore, Me'en Olin Yin Agufo T'nei Olin Yin L'chol Torah Kula. Oh, so this is teaching us, this is the correct way to do the Binyan Av by the extra words in the Pasuk telling us we have a choice. We could do the Binyan Av according to Mandi Yom, it says Shneik Sum Bo'al Kechum Melandim from Me'ilo and Tvachum M'choro, or we can learn it out from Shrut Echutz, the exact opposite, that ain't Shlichus of the Varavera. So from the fact that the Torah repeats itself and says V'nichras Ish Hahu, that comes to teach us, if we don't need it specifically to tell us the Dimai Shrut Echutz, come to tell it to us for all dinim in the Torah. Tneo inyan lechol Torah kula that ein shlichos ledvar aveira. So that's how the Man Yomo says that you need shlosha ksuvim in order to say ein melandim, two ksuvim melandim. So that's how he would learn out that this din is not applicable by from tvicha, tvacho mecharo and meila to generalize as a binyanav, because we have the specific pasuk telling us not to generalize that, but to generalize shlut echutz ein shlichos ledvar aveira. No. And according to all the other mandiyamas we had from yesterday, so no, what do they do with this pasuk? They already had learned out from the fact that it reiterated it in two different psukim, for example, by Me'ila and Tvicha or Mechira, so therefore it can't be generalized, so then they don't need the pasuk kahu to teach us that. So what do they do with the pasuk kahu? From yesterday, hani hahu, hahu, my darshu. What do they need both of these psukim for that we just said, the word hahu in it, by Shchut Echutz? So we need two drashas over here. So the first one is chad lemeute shnayim shochazim misakim mishochten. The first hahu is to teach us that you're not chayiv kares if somebody assists you in the shchita. So two people holding on to the knife, it's a long chalif, and two people holding on to it, and they simultaneously shech this behema. So you might have thought that this person should be chayiv for shchut echutz in this situation. So kamash ulon hahu only if the person does it alone. Chad, one person, as opposed to limute shnayim, this hahu comes to exclude two people that are holding the knife and they go shecht. That's also not going to be a chiv of shrut echutz. And the second hahu, the chad hu, and the second hahu comes to teach us that it has to be that person who v'lo onus. He himself has to have done it intentionally and not by accident. Hu lo shogi, not unintentionally. And ones and shogeg are similar in that onus is something that was against his ability to control, and shogeg is he forgot, he made a mistake. So both of these, the person wouldn't be chayv shchut echutz. How do we know that? Because it says ahu the second time. And furthermore, hu v'lo muta, and also he wouldn't be chayv if he made a mistake over here, or somebody tricked him and saying, oh yeah, this is a good behemoth, you're a shoychet, go and shech this over here, and he didn't realize that it was shchut echutz. So in all of these situations, you would not be chayv, whether it was an onus, whether it was a shogeg, or whether it was a mistake. In all of these, as Rashi says, shepeturin mechatos the shchut echutz. If you did this accidentally, you wouldn't have to bring a chatos for shchut echutz, and certainly if you did it on purpose, you wouldn't be chayv kares. Okay, now, once you've taught me these dinim, now we throw back the question on the Man D'Yomim that says that you need shlosha ksuvim to be a melandim, but two ksuvim on melandim. So no, how do they learn out these dinim? They need the psukim, hahu, hahu, to teach us that shrut echutz is the paradigm, the binyanav, to learn out that ain shliach l'dvar aveira. So how do they learn out these dinim? Shtayim ochzin, besakim, mishochtin, that they're potter, and onus, shogeg, and muteh are all potter as well, v'idach. How does he learn that out? So Gemara says, the extra word, it said, hahu. It didn't say who. It didn't say v'nichras ha'ish hu. It says v'nichras ha'ish hahu. And the pasuk before said dom yechoshev l'ish hahu, not hu, dom shofach. So therefore, from the extra hey, that's how this man d'yomer would learn out these dinim, in addition to the rule that you generalize shrut echutz l'kol ha'torah kula, that it's ein shlichus l'dvar aveira. No, now we throw it back on the tanoim that hold that shnei ksuvim bo'al kechad ein melamdim. So they needed this to teach us these dinim. But what did they learn from the extra hey? Mehahu, hahu, what did they learn from? The idah, hu, hahu, lo darish. They say, no, that extra hey isn't really a drasha. That's just the normal way to write it. And therefore, they don't have to learn anything from it. And therefore, everybody's okay. And bottom line is, we've now explained how we generalize the din of ein shlich l'dvar aveira. Bein, according to Man D'Yomer, that hold shnei ksuvim bo'al kechad ein melamdim. And Bein, according to Man D'Yomer, it says shnei ksuvim bo'al kechad melamdim. Everybody is okay. We've used all the psukim. Everybody has a drasha for them, and we can go weiter. Now the Gemara says that which we explained. Behold, the Tani. We learned in the following brayso. Ha'omer lishlucho say haroges an efesh. If a person tells somebody else, Yankel tells Ruve, go and kill Shimon. So in that situation, the Braisa says, Hu Chayav, the person who killed Shimon is Chayav, Reuven is Chayav, Vishalchav Yankel, who sent him, is Potter. So that's the din that we all know, and that's the halacha l'maisa, because we say, Ein Shlich L'Dvar Avera. But the Braisa comes along and tells us, Shammai HaZaken, right? The great Shammai HaZaken said over Omer Mishum Chagai HaNavi. He said over the name of Chagai HaNavi that, in fact, Sholchov Chayev, in this situation I just gave you, Yankel, who sent Reuven to go and kill Shimon. So we just said the din is that Yankel is Potter, and Reuven is Chayev for killing Shimon. No, Shammai HaZaken says the name of Chagai HaNavi, that in fact, Yankel is Chayev over here. Sholchov Chayev. And he bases it upon Shinemar, in regards to David HaMelech, when he sent out Uriah HaChiti to back to the battle, and he was ultimately killed there by the Ammonim. So it says, Shinemar Oso Harakta Becherev Bnei Ammon, that David is considered to have killed Uriah HaChiti with the sword of Bnei Ammon. So this seems to be not the source, but an example of the din of Shammai HaZaken saying over the name of Chagai HaNavi, that in fact the Sholchov, the one who sent him, is Chayev. So the Gemara now asks, my time of the Shammai HaZaken, why is this so? What is the reasoning behind Shammai HaZaken? This pasuk that we have over here from Shmuel Beis telling us that the Navi tells David, you're accountable for the murder of Uriah HaChiti by the Bnei Ammon, can't be the source. That's not a pasuk in Chumash. So what is the source? My time in the Shammai HaZaken to say this somewhat surprising din that the Sholchov is Chayev, that Yankel, who sends Reuven to kill Shimon, Yankel is Chayev. So the Gemara answers that Shammai HaZaken's opinion based upon Chagai HaNavi is Ksavah Shneksum Bon Kechot Milamdin Vehu Hahu lo dorish. You know how he learns this out? He says, there is shlichs levar vera. Because, number one, he holds the shneksu and bon kechot melandim. So you can learn out. Oh, so that's like the shita that we had today. But the shita that we had today negated that and said you can't use me'ila and tvachu mocharo to go and be a binyanav to teach us this din of yesh shlichs levar vera because of hu hahu. So we darshened all of those drushes that we did now for that man the yomit to say why ain't shlichus levar vera, and shlute chutz is the paradigm to say ain't shlichus levar vera, and we don't generalize it from the dinim of me'ila and tvacha umucharo. But Shammai HaZaken didn't hold from this drusha of hu hahu, so he needed the drusha of hu to teach us the dinim that we said shnayim ochazin Misakin and Ones, Shogeg and Muta, he needed that drasha hu-hu. He therefore didn't have hahu, so he didn't have an extra drasha to learn it out. And he holds Shneik Sumba and Kechim and Landim. So therefore, he did generalize it from Mi'ila and Tvacho Umicharo. So that's the first explanation for what Shammai HaZaken's Shita is. Now we have two other explanations for this Shita. The Gemara now says, alternatively, we could say that no, Li'olam Dorish. In fact, Shammai HaZaken also dashes hu hahu, and therefore he would say that ain't shlich l'dvar avera, just the way the Man D'Yoma learned earlier in the Shia today, that if you hold the Shneik Sumoel Kiecha, but you hold hu hahu, so you have all the drashos, so therefore we learn out from Shute Chutz as a binyanav that ain't shlich l'dvar avera. And in fact, Shammai HaZaken holds like that. Aye, how come over here Shammai HaZaken says Sholcho Chayev? What does that mean? Umay Chayev? What does it mean that he says he's Chayev? It means Chayev b'dinei Shamayim. Doesn't mean that Beis Din can go and kill him. It doesn't mean that Beis Din will go and punish him. No, because ain't shlich l'dvar avera. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold him accountable. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that he persuaded Reuven to go kill Shimon. So he will be accountable, but b'dinei Shamayim and not b'dinei Adam. So Beis Din won't be able to put him to death. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of all things. So therefore, it means Chayev B'dinei Shemayim. That's what Shammai HaZaken says when he says, in the name of Chagai HaNavi, Sholcho Chayev, it means Chayev B'dinei Shemayim. But that implies, where it says, Miklal, the Tanakhama Sofer, Afilu B'dinei Shemayim, Nami Potter. When the Tanakhama says that Hu Chayev is Sholcho Potter, that Reuven is Chayev for killing Shimon, but Yankel, the Sholchov, is in fact Potter. Does that mean he's Potter totally? Even from Dinei Shamayim? That doesn't make any sense. How can we let Yankel go off scot-free? He was urging and pushing Reuven to kill Shimon. How can he be scot-free, be Dinei Shamayim? So that can't be it. So Gemara says, Elo, in fact, the Tanakama also says he's Chayev B'dinei Shamayim. When he says the Sholchov Potter, it means Potter compared to the opinion of Shammai HaZaken, who says he's Chayev. They both hold that he's Chayev B'dinei Shamayim. But Shammai HaZaken says that he's Chayev Misa B'dinei Shamayim. And the opinion of the Tanakhama is that he's not chayiv misa, he's potter for misa, he's chayiv midei neshamayim. Of course, well, we'll have to figure out what to do. But he's not chayiv misa midei shamayim, where Shammai Zaki says he's chayiv misa midei shamayim. And that's what, therefore, the understanding has to be. The second understanding of Shammai Zaki is elodin or rabba b'din or zuta ikubinayo. The difference between the Tanakhama and Shammai Zokin isn't one says he's part of B'di Shemaim and one says he's Chayav B'di Shemaim. No, the difference is a slighter difference. One says you're Chayav Misa B'di Shemaim, the other one says you're Chayav a big punishment B'di Shemaim, but not necessarily Misa. And therefore, that's explanation number two of the din of Shammai Zokin. As Rashi says, L'Shammai M'Chayav B'dina Rabba Ba'onish Godo, a great punishment like Misa, U'Tanakama Lo miyanash kule hai, you won't get misa b'dei shemayim, kehorig atzo, like you were the actual murderer yourself, elikagorin, you'll be punished like a person who caused the misa. So there's only a slight difference between them, not that one says potter, one says chai b'dei shemayim. Okay, that's teretz number two, how to explain Shammai Zokin. Teretz number three, yibayi seymah, an alternative teretz, the third teretz is as follows, shani hasam, the brisa, what we just brought down, what we said, the Shammai Zokin says, sholchav chayav, is different. It's, why is it different? The Gali Rachmana. Here you have a pasuk that tells us. The pasuk says, "Osa harakta b'cherev bnei Amon." David HaMelech, the Navi tells him, it is as if you killed him with the cherev of bnei Amon. So only over here is there this idea of shlichus l'dvar aveira. However, in general, Shammai Zokin would not hold like that. But now, if you're telling me this is Shammai Zokin's opinion, so then what in the world is the Tanakhama, the Idach, the Tanakhama? What does he do with this? Does he disagree with the pasuk? So Gemara says, "Harei lucha kicher bnei Amon." He darshens this pasuk differently. Shammai Zokin had darshened it to say that David HaMelech is held accountable for the killing of Uriah Chiti by the bnei Amon, whereas the Tanakhama says he's not held accountable. He says, notice the language over here. It says, "Osa rakta b'cherev bnei Amon." You killed Uriah Chiti with the sword of the bnei Amon. And just like the sword of the bnei Amon, you're not accountable for other people that they killed. You're not accountable for them killing Uriah Chiti. As Gemara says, "Harei lucha kicherev bnei Amon. Ma cherev bnei Amon ein aton en ashalav." David HaMelech, you're not held accountable for all the people that the bnei Amon killed. So too, af Uriah Chiti, when they killed Uriah Chiti, you're also not held accountable for killing Uriah Chiti. It is the Bnei Amon who did this, and you're totally scot-free. My time, why is David not held at all accountable, according to the Tanakhama, for the Bnei Amon killing Uriah Chiti? Because he had the right to kill him. Morid b'malchus haba. Uriah Chiti was, in fact, morid b'malchus, and David HaMelech had the right to kill him. And therefore, when the Bnei Amon killed him, David HaMelech is not held at all accountable. Why was he married by Malchus? Where do we see that Uriah Chiti was married by Malchus? Because the Karmel Lay, when he's speaking with David HaMelech, he tells to him, Vadoni Yoav, and my master Yoav. He calls the master to Yoav before he calls him a master to David HaMelech. Now, the gear that we have is V'chol, but the real gear says, it says on the side, Tzorech Lomar, V'avdei Adoni Chonim. So he made the mistake of first referring to Yoav as his master, and only afterwards did he say that they're all Avodim of David HaMelech. They're out in the field, so therefore that is considered a Moreid B'Malchus type of a statement, and as a result, David HaMelech had the right to kill him, and therefore when the Bnei Amon killed him, somewhat at the behest of David by sending him back into battle, David is not at all held accountable according to the Tanakhama. According to Shammai Hazokin, in the words of Chagai HaNavi, he is held accountable to some extent. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava said, Im timse lomar sober Shammai shnei suvim ba'kech melamdim. According to the first, we have three understandings of Shammai Zokin. The first understanding was, in fact, you do learn this out, yesh shliach l'dvar aveira, because he holds that shnei suvim ba'kech melamdim, and he didn't hold who, hahu, so therefore, he didn't have that pasuk to tell us not to learn out the Yeshlich Levar Reveira, and to learn after Shute Chutz that ain't Shlich Levar Reveira. So Rava says, according to this understanding, the who, ahu, lo darish, that he holds the Shnei Ksuvim Boik Echod are Melandim, so Yeshlich Levar Reveira from Me'ilo and Tvacha Umucharo, and he doesn't have the negation of that with the who, ahu, because he's not darish that. So then, Moder Biom Lishlucho, even Shammai Zokin, who says that there is Shlich Levar Reveira, will admit that there is no shlichus in the following situation. Mode, he's mode, but omer l'shlucha, the person tells his shaliach, say, ba'olis erva, Ruvain, you go and have relations with that woman who is an erva to you. That's what Yankul urges Ruvain to do that. And then Ruvain does it. Or he tells him, ve'echolis achelev, Yankul urges Ruvain to go and eat chelev. And Ruvain does it. In this situation, even though Shammai Zokin holds, yesh liach l'dvar aveira, here, the sholchav Yankel would not be chayiv for the bol erva or echol esachelev aveira that Reuven did. In that situation, Reuven would be chayiv, shehu chayiv, v'sholcha potter, but Yankel, the one who sent him, would in fact be potter. Why? How come? If you hold yeshlich the varveira, why are these exceptions to the rule? Because, shalom atzin v'chol haTorah kula, we never find anywhere in the Torah that this person, zeh nene, Reuven got the benefit of eating the chaylev. He got the benefit, the pleasure of having relations with that erva, and he shouldn't be punished. Vizem is chayev, and yet Yankel should be the one to be chayev. That we couldn't find. So since in a case like this, where Reuven is getting the hanah from eating the chaylev or being bald the erva, so he has to be the one held accountable. Even though in general the sholeach, the one who sent him, would in fact be held accountable because yeshlich d'var aveira, according to the first understanding we had of Shammai Yazakin, but these are the exceptions to the rule, because we don't find that one person gets dana and the other person gets punished. But in a case where Reuven is told by Yankel, go murder Shimon, so Reuven doesn't get any hana in that situation, so then Shammai Yazakin says, yeah, in that situation, we hold the sholcha, we hold Yankel to be chayev for sending Reuven to go and kill Shimon, because there was no hana over there in killing Shimon, it just was an act of murder, and there, in that situation, we say, yesh shliach lidvar aveira, according to the first understanding we had of Shammai Yazakin. Again, according to the second and third understanding of Shammai Yazakin, that fits in well with the understanding that we have in the halach l'maisa, that ain't shliach lidvar aveira. Okay, now the Gemara says, Itmar, we learned in the Beis Medrash, Rav Omar, Rav said, Sholiach Nase'eid, that if somebody is sent to be a Sholiach to do something, he can also testify that, in fact, it was carried out. However, Devei Rabbi Shila, in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shila, Amre Ein Shliach Nase'eid. They held that, in fact, a Shliach cannot be a witness. Now, why? So Gemara says, "My time of Devei Rabbi Shila." Why, according to the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shila, can an aide not also be the sholiach? If you want to be the sholiach, you can't be the aide. So if you're going to tell me Ilema Mishum Delo Omar Le, because he wasn't instructed to be both a sholiach and an aide, he was just instructed to do the shlichos. He wasn't instructed to be an aide. That can't be it, because if you're telling me that you have to be instructed, heavily aid, that you didn't tell him to go and be an aide, and therefore he's not allowed to be an aide, so then that has to be true every place else, but that's incorrect. El Miata, what happens? A Kidesh Isho Bifnei Shtayim. The man is a Makadish woman in front of two people. The Lo Amalehem Atem Edai, and he didn't designate them to be his witnesses. Hochanami, the Lo Heavy Kedushay? Are you telling me in that situation the Kedushay wouldn't be Chal? The guy gave the woman a ring. He said, "Arat Mekudeshes b'tavazu k'das Moshe v'Yisrael," and the two witnesses watched it. So the woman is Mekudeshes, even though he didn't say, "Heve li Edim," that you should be Edim for me. So therefore, you don't have to specifically designate Edim to be Edim. Therefore, too, that can't be the reason why the Devei Rav Shila said, "Ein shalich nas Ed." It can't be because he wasn't designated. That can't be it. So what is the reason? Ella. The bottom line is, Rav Amar Shliach Nase Eid. The reason why Rav says a Shliach can be an aid is because Alume Koma Alimna Lemilsei. What better proof is there that this in fact happened by saying, yeah, I'm a witness to this, and in fact, I was the one that did it. I was the one that gave the money to Reuven from Shimon, and therefore I'm testifying that this is what happened. So how could it be anything better than that? That you're also testifying, Rav says, about what you were sent to be the shliach on. So that strengthens ilume koma al nina lemilse. That makes it even stronger. That's the opinion of Rav. Shliach nase eid. However, the Rav Shila, they disagree. They say, Amre, ain't shliach nase eid. Why can't the shliach become an aid? The reasoning is because in this situation, kivon the omar mar shlucho shlodim kimoso, because you are in fact, based upon our understanding of shlichos, acting in the function of that person that sent you, so now that person is a nogeya bedavar, havalei kegufe, you now, the shliach, are like the person, and he's a nogeya bedavar, and therefore he can't be an aid on that item. So this is the rationale of Rabu says shliach nasa aid, and the Dei Rav Shilu say ain shliach nasa aid. That is more questions, meisve, but we learn the following braisa. If a man says to three people, amal shlosha, he tells three people, so all three of you go, v'kachu li o'isha, go and be makadesh this woman for me. Again, as we pointed out, aish makadesh, a man is allowed to go be send the shliach, bo b'shlucho, can send the shliach to go be makadesh the woman with kesef or shtar. So he tells these three men, go and be makadesh this woman. Now, echod sholiach u'shnayim edim divrei b'shamay. B'shamay says, how does this work over here? One of them has to be a sholiach to go be makadesh the woman, and the other two will function as the witnesses. In other words, you can't be a sholiach and be an aid. Divri Beis Shammai. Oh, you tell me Beis Hillel disagrees? Beis Hillel do disagree, but not in this way. Beis Hillel omrim, kulam shluchim ein. No, all of them act as shluchim because that's what they were told. So all three of you, Rikitru Leisha, and you can't have two of them break off and be just witnesses, and therefore all three of them are shluchim, vein shliach, not aid. And therefore none of them can be a aid, and therefore both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say that ein shliach in this situation, the shliach can't be an aid. So Kash on Rav, who says Shliach Nasa Aid, and the Gemara just finishes the question. Ad kan lo pligi elo b'shlosha. You see the argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. If you have three, so Beis Shammai says that one can break off and just be the Shliach, and two will be the Aidim, and Beis Hillel say no, all three of them are the Shluchim, and therefore none of them can be an Aid. But Beis Shammai agrees. Divrei Hakol Mishnayim, Avo Mishnayim, Divrei Hakol lo, that both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai say that if it's only two people, then they can't be both a shliach and an aid. So when there's the possibility of having three, so Beis Shammai says, yeah, one can break off and be the shliach, and the other two will be the aidim. But certainly, ein shliach nasa aid. So both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say kasha on Rav. So Gemara says, no, Rav holds who? Rav holds the Omar ki hai Tana. He holds like a different Tana. What's that Tana? This is the Tana, Rabbi Nosson. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Nosson Omer. Rabbi Nosson says, this is the scenario. Beisham yomim sholiach v'yeid echad. Beisham says, in this situation, you had a sholiach and an aid, and they were sent to go and do the Kiddushin. So in this situation, you need to have a second witness. Beisham yomim sholiach v'yeid echad. The aid is one, and the shaliach is the second aid. So it works. And Beis Hillel, no, shaliach shneidim. You need to send the shaliach with two aidim, because the shaliach isn't able to be an aid. So here you see that Beis Shammai says, shaliach nasa aid, and Beis Hillel says, ain't shaliach nasa aid. So Gemara says, really? So then, v'rav ki Beis Shammai? Are you telling me that Rav holds like Beis Shammai in this situation? Nobody wants to be locked into the opinion of Beis Shammai, because we don't hold like Beis Shammai. So therefore, we don't want to force Rav to be holding like Beis Shammai. So Gemara says, you're right, flip it around, epoch. Instead of saying in this brisa that Rabbi Nosson Omer, Beis Shammai Omim Shaliach V'Yed Echad, in fact, Rabbi Nosson said, Beis Hillel Omim Shaliach V'Yed Echad, and it was Beis Shammai whom said, Omim Shaliach U'Shnei Edim. Oh, we flip it around. Now, Rav holds like Beis Hillel, and therefore, that is the shita that Rav says, Shaliach Nase Eid. Alternatively, you can have the following version of the brisa. Rav Acha Bered the Rava Masne Ifcha. Rav Acha, who was the son of Rava, learn the machlokas between Rav and the Bei Rav Shila differently. He learned it the exact opposite. Masne Ifcha. He had the shita that Rav Amar Ein Shaliach Nasa Eid. He had Rav was the opinion that Ein Shaliach Nasa Eid. And now you don't have to flip around the brisa, because now Rav is going to hold like the original person that we had at Beis Hillel. Ein Shaliach Nasa Eid. So Rav is holding like Beis Hillel according to this revised understanding of the machlokes between Rav and the Vei Rav Shila. And it was the Vei Rav Shila who said, Amrei, Shaliach Nasa Eid. So therefore, Rav holds like the original version of the Braisa, Beis Hillel, and that is how this is reconciled by Rav Acha Bered the Rava. How do we paskin the Hilchasa? Shaliach Nasa Eid. We do allow the Shaliach to be an aid, either like the first version that we had of Rav, or like the second version that we had of the Vei Rav Shila. Okay, now, Mark continues and says, Omer Rav, Omer Rav Nachman, Omer L'Shnai, if a man goes and tells two people, Tzuva Kachuli Yisisha, go and marry off this woman to me, go and bring her the Kesef or the Shtar, and marry this woman to me, Kachuli Yisisha, so Hein Hein Shluchav, Hein Hein Eidav. So, as we just pointed out, Hilchos Shliach Nasa Eid, so they can function both as the Shlichim to go and marry the person on his behalf, to him, so therefore, this woman now be Mekudesh to the person who sent them, and they also can testify about it. They're also the Eidei Kiddushin. They can go and effectuate the Kiddushin as well. And then Rava Omer of Nachman adds, V'chein B'Gerushin. The same halacha applies to Gerushin, and we turn to Mekim Lomit Beis, V'chein B'dinei Mamros. And the same din applies that an Eid can be a Shaliach, not only in Gittin, also in Dine Mamonos, as well as, of course, the first case of Kiddushin. And the Gemara asks, why did you have to tell me all three? Why couldn't I learn one from the other? Utsricha. You needed to tell me, Rav Omer Rav Nachman, you needed to tell me all three. Why is that? Because if you only told me the first case by Kiddushin, the Yashmin on Kiddushin, if only Rav sent him Rav Nachman, that this was a din by Kiddushin, so then I would learn it out, that it's only by Kiddushin. Because, Mishum, Dilim Sarei Ka'asi. Because here, they're coming to go and make this woman less permissible to the world. They are now restricting her to only be permissible to the guy that sent them. So therefore, there is no reason to think that they're lying, because they're now not able to marry this woman. So they're restricting themselves by doing this. So therefore, I would say in that situation, shliach can become an aid. But by gerushin, if the shliach can become an aid, they're gaining from this. Now this woman is able to marry them. I will be gerushin, necho shema eino no samba. Maybe one of them likes her. So they make up this whole shenanigan over here. They make up this whole made up gerushin. And they say, we were sent to divorce her. And now she's considered divorced. And now one of these two guys can go marry her. So therefore, I would have said that only by kedushin, where they're restricting her, there we would say that in that situation, shliach can be an aid. But by gerushin, where they're now unrestricting her, maybe you would say a shliach cannot become an aid. Oh, that's why Rav Amar Rav Nachman had to tell us the din and the chayin begerushin. No, the yashmin begerushin. Just tell me gerushin. I would have said mishum de itza lebei trei lo chazia. You know why gerushin? We're not concerned over here about some kenunya, some sort of a shenanigan going on over here, some sort of a plot that these two guys are doing, because only one of them is going to gain from this. And we have a rule that a person won't sin in order for somebody else to benefit. So you're going to have two guys lying over here, and they're, in that situation, going to now mock to the woman. Well, only one of them can go and marry her. So therefore, in this situation, we don't have to be concerned that they're having a shenanigan, a kenunya over here, some sort of a plot, and that they're lying. Because both of them can't benefit. And we don't say that a person is going to sin in order to benefit somebody else. However, Avu Mamona, in regards to money, if they were to go and claim, Yankel sent us to give the money to this other guy, and we gave the money, so we're shluchim to give the money, and now we're aiding that we gave the money, you know what? They could be lying. They could be saying, hey, listen, let's divide up the money. You can't divide up the woman, but you could divide up money. Avu Mamona, Ema, Hani, Miflag, Pagi. They're both going to gain from this. Hey, we'll claim that we gave the $200 to him, and will he take $100? So, therefore, in this situation, I might have said that a shaliach cannot become an aid. Therefore, tzricha, you needed to tell me v'chein b'dini mamonos as well. So, therefore, you needed the case by kedushin, you needed the case by gittin, and you needed the case by dini mamonos that Rava Amar Rav Nachman told us. Now, the Gemara says, what's the understanding over here? My kesavar, what exactly did Rava Amar Rav Nachman hold? I kesavar, if he holds hamal v'chaveru be'edim, sorich l'faru be'edim, if the opinion is that when you go and lend somebody money and you do it in the presence of witnesses, so that person has to pay you back in the presence of witnesses, so then hani no gim be edustinu. So then they're no gabadover. They have a reason to go and say that they paid back the person, because hani no gim be edustinu, if they aren't telling the truth, the amre lo parane, because if they say, no, we never paid back the money, so then, amalu peruni, so then the one who sent them said, well, if you didn't pay the guy the money that I sent you to go pay, then give me back my money. So they are no gabadover. If they say they paid the money, so then they don't have to pay back the money to the original guy. So, again, the shluchim over here are Reuven and Shimon. Yankel sent them to go pay back Levi. Now, if Reuven and Shimon say that we paid back Levi the money, so then they don't have any responsibility back to Yankel, the one who sent them, to give him back the money, because they gave it to Levi. And therefore, they're no gabadov, because if they don't say they gave it to Levi, so then Yankel's going to come to them and say, well, if you didn't give the money I gave you to give to Levi, so give me back the money. So Amaluhu Peruni, he would tell them to go give it back. So therefore, they're no gabadov. So that can't be the case. So therefore, the Gemara says it must be Eloli Olam Kesaver Hamal Veschaveru Be'edim Ain Sarach Lefar Be'edim. So in fact, Rav Amar Ben Nachman holds that even though the money was lent in the presence of Edim, it doesn't have to be paid back in the presence of Edim. In this situation, you seemingly would have a problem, because all Yankel would have to do is say, I gave Reuven and Shimon the money to go and pay you. And that would be enough, because he doesn't have to pay him back in front of Edim. So therefore, the answer is as follows. Le'olam k'savar amalves chaveru be'edim ein tzarech l'far be'edim. In fact, Rav Ramach says you don't have to pay him back in Edim. What about this concern that he could just say, I gave the money to Reuven and Shimon? U'migu di'ochlu le'memar adrinu l'lover. Since Reuven and Shimon, the two witnesses, could in fact say, we gave you back the money. Reuven and Shimon could say, listen, we decided not to be your shluchim, and we gave you back the money. Since they could say that, they have a migu that they could have said that, and therefore they wouldn't have to pay any money. Since they could tell Yankel, we gave you back your money, therefore they are believed with this migu, yicholun lememar perone lemalve. So they are believed in this situation that in fact they said, no, we gave the money to Levi, we gave the money to the one who lent you the money, and therefore we're not chay of anything. So since they had a migu, they could have said they returned him the money, so therefore they're believed to say that they gave him the money. And that's why Rav Amar Rav Nachman holds that, in fact, But it's not a problem over here because they had a miku. Now, the Gemara says, "V'hashto the tikkun rabbanon shuas heses." However, nowadays, subsequent to this, the rabbi set up a concept of a shuas heses. A shuas heses is a rabbinical shvua. Midaraisa, you have modu b'miktsas, as we've talked about recently. So if a person lends somebody $100 and then the guy paid back 50 and says, "I only owe you 50, and that's modu b'miktsas, he's modu that he still owes him 50. In that situation, there is a chiyav shvua midaraisa, shvuas modu b'miktsas. But if he had totally denied it, he said, "What are you talking about? You never lent me $100. So then there would be no shvua d'oraisa. But then the rabbis came along and said, "V'hashda d'tikun rabbanon shvuas heses," that the rabbis instituted that when you totally deny something, we're still going to make you make a shvua as well. So mishtabe hani edim d'yoyivnele. So now, if these two witnesses had said that they returned the money to him, and he denies that, so he could demand them to make him a shvua, and since as well, these witnesses would then swear that they did give the money to Levi, and the one who lent the money, Levi, would swear that he didn't receive it. So then, so then the Lova would be obligated to go in that situation and pay the Malva, because the witnesses say that they gave the money, and they swear. And the person who received the money would swear that he didn't receive it. So then, Yankel would have to go and pay Levi again, so parolei lova lemalve. So in this situation, the witnesses would be able to keep the money if they really stole it. So therefore, since the rabbis were masaki and Yeshua's hases, so no longer can we say in this situation that shaliach nase eid. So before this takana of Yeshua's hases, the opinion of Rava Amar Rav Nachman was that shaliach nase eid. But once they were masaki the Yeshua's hases, so then Rava Amar Rav Nachman would say that ein shaliach nase eid. Okay, a little bit complicated, but let's go weiter. Then we said in the Mishnah, ish mekadesh his bito, a man could go be mekadesh his daughter. This we said was whether she's a nara, and even when she's a ktana, obi we brought down that it's not proper to do when she's a ktana. Now, Gemara says in Gittin, Tanan Hossam, we learned in the Mishnah in Gittin, nara hamurasa, if a woman has undergone the first stage of marriage, she's mu'ureses, she's mikudeshes, but she hasn't yet undergone the chuppah nisuin, so he, the avia, either she herself or her father, mekablin esgita. Either one of them, if the husband, the first stage marriage husband, decides he doesn't wish to be her husband anymore, so he can divorce her, either by giving the nara murasa herself the get, or by giving her father the get. Rashi points out that this din applies to a ketana as well, but he points out that we're about to learn the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, and this is to show us the koach of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that even by Nara Murasa, that's why he uses the case of Nara Murasa rather than Ketana. So along comes Omer of Yehuda, Ein Shnei Yadayim Zochos Kechad. It can't be that either the Nara Murasa or her father can go accept the get on her behalf, one or the other. And therefore, only Elovia Mekabel Eskita, only her father can go and accept the get on her behalf. So again, as Rashi says, Lodiach Kochosh Rabbi Yehuda, that this applies not only in a ketana, but even in an Nara Murasa. Mishnah continues and says, Kochosh Eni Yecholah Lishmar's Gita. The Mishnah in Gittin tells us, if a girl is incapable of being Shomer her get, she's not old enough or incapable of being Shomer is her get, so Eni Yecholah Lishgarish, then such a girl cannot be divorced. Because Nebuch, she's going to act in a wanton way. She doesn't understand what it means to be divorced. Now, Amri Shlokish, this machlokis between the Tanakhama and Yehuda applies both by gerishin and it also applies by kiddushin. Rabbi Yochanan Amar only machlokis legerishin, but avol lekiddushin. But in regards to kiddushin, divrei kol avia v'lohi. In regards to kiddushin, everybody agrees it's only her father that can accept the kiddushin, and she is incapable of accepting the kiddushin on her behalf. So the understanding between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about this machlokis is as follows. The bottom line is, Reish Lakish says that the machlokis is exactly the same in regards to Gerishin and in regards to Kedushin. Reish Lakish holds, the Tanakhama holds that both the father and the daughter can accept Gerishin, and both the father and the daughter can accept Kedushin. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, in both situations, only the father. Very straightforward, that's Reish Lakish's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the machlokis is only by Gerishin. Yes, as you just said, in regards to Gerishin, Tanakhama says that both the father and the daughter can accept the Gerishin, and Rabbi Yehuda says only the father can accept the Gerishin. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. But in regards to Kiddushin, Divrei HaKol, according to Rabbi Yochanan, everybody says that the father, and only the father, can accept Kiddushin for her and not the daughter. Below he. So there's no machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda in regards to Kiddushin, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, who was the son of Rabbi Chanina, said, my time with Rabbi Yochanan, I leave the Rabbanan. What is the reasoning of Rabbi Yochanan according to the opinion of the Chachamim? In other words, why does Rabbi Yochanan say that only by Gerishin do the Chachamim say that both the father and the daughter, either one can accept the Gerishin, but by Kiddushin, even the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda that only the father can accept the Kiddushin? What's the rationale behind that? Because Gerishin, demachneses atzma l'shus avia, because Gerishin, which brings her back into her father's domain, so therefore, bein hi or bein avia, she or her father can go bring her back into her father's domain. But Kiddushin, demifkas atzma l'shus avia, Kiddushin removes her from her father's domain and moves her partially into the domain of the Arus, so in this situation, only her father can remove her from his domain, avia, the low he. Mora isn't happy with this, and Mora says, wait a second, Lare Maimar, when a woman, Rachmona Luslan, loses her husband, and they don't have children, so she falls Yibum, as we know, to her brother-in-law, her dead husband's brother. So she falls to him to Yibum. Now, we learned that the proper way for him to marry her is to give her Maimer. This is a Din D'Rabbanan, but he gives her basically Kesef Kiddushin, and he says, will you be my wife? And she says, yes. And then they ultimately have relations, and that's the fulfillment of Yibam. So you first do Maimer. Now, Maimer, the Mifkas Atzma Mishusavia, the acceptance of Maimer, of let's say Kesef of Maimer, that removes her from her father's Rishus. After her husband died, she goes back to her father's Rishus. So the acceptance of Maimer removes her from her father's Rishus and puts her back into the Yavam's Rishus. Nevertheless, Tanan, and we turn to Memdalad Amr Aleph, we learned, Kitana mina Erisin ain't osim ba Maimer, that you have a Kitana from Erisin. Nebuch, she only had the first stage of marriage. As Rashi says, she shomeris Yavam mina Erisin, her husband passed away, and Adayin Rishus Aviyah Olea, she's still in her father's domain because she's a Ketana and she didn't have the full marriage yet. So Kol Zman Shelo Yisia, if there wasn't Nisuin, so then Ein Osim Bo Maimar Ela Midas Aviyah, that she needs to have her father's permission to accept the Maimar. V'hanara, however, a Nara, Bemidas Atzma, Bemidas Aviyah, the Nara, whether her father agrees or whether her father doesn't agree, she doesn't require her father's permission to take the Maimar money. And here, clearly, this is a case where she is being removed from her father's domain, and yet it says that she doesn't need her father's permission. So this is a kasha on what we said before, that when you're going, according to Rav Yochanan, according to the Tanakhama, you're going to have Kiddushin, it's going to remove her from her father's domain, so therefore only the father can accept it and not the girl. So here's a case where Maimer, which will remove her from her father's domain, is allowed to be accepted by the Nara. Now, we have the words in parentheses now, Masha ain't came to Kiddushin, so the Mefarshim is saying this is really coming up later on. It's part of this Memra, but it isn't supposed to be over here, and that's why some erase this and don't learn this over here yet. In any event, here's the Kasha. We see that Rav Yochanan's position of the Chachamim, that only the father can accept Kiddushin, because in that situation she's leaving her father's domain, so therefore she shouldn't be able to accept Maimer without her father's permission, just brought down. It's none that she can't. So Gemara says, you're right. Eliyit Mar Hachim. The proper explanation of Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the Chachamim has to be as follows. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bruchinina. Rabbi Yossi Bruchinina said, "My time with Rabbi Yochanan, I leave the Rabbanu." What is Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the Chachamim? Why can the father or the girl, according to the Chachamim, accept Gerushin, but only the father, according to Rabbi Yochanan, can accept Kiddushin? Because Kiddushin demidaita. Kiddushin needs her permission. So therefore, Avia Velohi. Therefore, her father is able to accept the Kiddushin on her behalf, and she cannot. But Gerushin, which can be given even without her wanting to accept it, Gerushin de Baal Karcha, therefore, Bein Hi or Bein Avia. This will work whether it's the father accepting it or her accepting it. So what Rav Yochanan's understanding is, according to Rav Yossi Bruchanina, is that since by Kiddushin it requires her permission, so the father has the right to that permission. She's in the father's domain. So only the father can go and accept the Kiddushin on her behalf. But Gerushin, which doesn't require the father's permission, so the girl can accept it also. That is the understanding, Rav Yossi Ruchanina says, of Rav Yochanan's understanding of the Chachamim Shita. Where it says, but still, Hare Maimer Demidaita, Viktani Ben Avia, Ben Hi U Ben Avia. So in regards to Maimer, which also is like Kiddushin, so then that should be something that only the father should be able to accept. But how come she's able to accept it? So one says, no, husband Maimer, the Baal Karcha. We're actually talking about Maimer against her will. So it's Baal Karcha. So it's very similar to Gerushin, which can be given to the woman or to her father because it's Baal Karcha. And Maimer can also be given Baal Karcha. And this is the opinion of the Rebbe here. Just like the Yibam can be done technically Baal Karcha, the Maimer can be done Baal Karcha as well, according to Rebbe. As Rashi tells us, Rebbe he, the Omar Maimer, Tofes Biyavama Baal Karcha, that if he gives her the Maimer, it is Tofes even Baal Karcha. Im Zorak Lo Kesef, he throws it a Kesef, Ba'amu La Hareyat Mekudeshesli, so even if she says, I don't want it, it came into her possession, that Maimer works. And where do we see this from? The Tanya. We learn the following brisa. Ha'ose maimer b'yevimto shlomidaita. If a person does a maimer to his yevama without her agreeing to it, shlomidaita, so Rebbe Omekane, as we just pointed out, Rebbe's opinion is that she, in fact, has had maimer successfully done to her. Whereas the Chacham hold, no, Chacham amim lo kana. So what's the understanding of this machlokes in Rebbe? The Chacham and the Gemara explains. My time with the Rebbe, what's Rebbe's understanding? Gomar mi bia the Yevama, because he compares the Maimer to the bia that can be done Baal Karcha to Yevama. And ma bia the Yevama Baal Karcha, afo chanami, it can be Baal Karcha. So Rebbe compares Maimer to Yibam. Whereas the Chacham and the Rabbanon, they say no. Sabre Yafina Mikidushin. They compare the Maimer to a normal case of Kesef Kiddushin. And Ma Kiddushin Demidaita, you can't go and give money to a girl and say you're married to me, and she says nothing doing, Charlie, and you can't say that she's there for married because it's Baal Karcha. No. So just like Kiddushin isn't Baal Karcha, it must be Midaita. So the Chacham say, Afochanami Demidaita. So to the Maimer must be Midaita. No. We understand now what the machlokas is, but why do they each hold their opinion? But my kamifli, why does Rebbe say that we preferably compare Maimer to Yibam, which can be Baal Karcha, whereas the Chacham say we compare Maimer to Kiddushin, which can't be Baal Karcha? But my kamifli, what are they arguing about? So Rebbe Savar, it makes more sense. Mila de Yavama, mi Yavama, Havalela Melef. You should compare something related to Yibam to something related to Yibam. So Maimer is an aspect, if you wish, of Yibam, so compare it to Yibam. Whereas the Chacham Sabri, no. Rabban and Sabri, Kiddushin, mi Kiddushin, Havalela Melef. Maimer is function like Kiddushin, so it makes more sense to compare it to Kiddushin. And just like Kiddushin can't be Baal Karcha, so too Maimer can't be Baal Karcha. This is a good break point, albeit we're still in the middle of this discussion of Rav Yochanan's opinion of the Chachamim, which we'll pick up tomorrow, but everyone should have a wonderful day.